T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's the Graybar Sports Open Line.
Goldschmidt swings and he hits a drive. He hits a slammer.
On America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
Back at it into hour number two of the program. We're taking you till 8 o'clock this evening. Tomorrow, countdown to opening day. Thursday, Joe Pott's going to be in. Friday, an abbreviated edition of the program. Nate Gatter's going to be back in. And then next week, we've got Cardinal baseball beginning late in the league. So this is our final week without regular season Cardinals baseball. Tomorrow night, our final edition of Countdown to Opening Day. And hope you join Mike Claiborne and myself for the program. If you'd like to join us right now, we'll take your phone calls, we'll take your text messages, we'll take your tweets, 314-436-7900. That's 314-436-7900. You can also tweet at me if you'd like, at Matt Pauley on air, MattPauley on air. I think one of the things when it comes to the Cardinals and many of the discussions we're having right now about the Cardinals is we're discussing like situations that are not going to impact a large percentage of games. Like one of the big issues is the backup catcher, and neither Andrew Kisner or Tres Barrera are doing much at the moment in terms of winning that job. And Oliver Marmol, actually, he spoke very openly about that today. I think they are more fond of Barrera than Kisner at the moment. I think if the regular season were to start tomorrow, I think Barrera is the guy. And what that means for Kisner, I'm not real sure. There's one open 40-man roster spot right now. I think we can say that's presumably going to go to Jordan Walker. So if Barrera ends up being the backup catcher, they're going to have to do something to clear a 40-man roster spot. Maybe that costs Kisner a spot. Maybe they do something else. I don't know. But neither one of those guys is really doing that much to win the job. Now, it's better to be talking about that when it comes to a backup catcher than a starting catcher. We've spent a fair amount of time talking about who's going to play first base on the days that Paul Goldschmidt doesn't play. So what that happens twice every 15, 16 days? Like, he doesn't get that many days off. Is it going to be Donovan? Is it going to be Yepez? Is it going to be Burleson? We're doing the same thing at shortstop and at third base. Can you trust Donovan to have a handful of starts at those positions over the course of the year? So those are kind of the big discussions that people are worried. Now, in other spots, like in the outfield, you got too many guys, especially if Jordan Walker makes the team. Well, Walker's going to play just about every day if he's on the roster. So then you got Tyler O'Neill and you got Dylan Carlson, you got Lars Nootbaar, and it feels like Nootbaar is going to play every day. I think they believe in Lars Nootbaar as an everyday guy. So if Walker's an everyday guy and Nootbaar is an everyday guy, how do you and Dylan Carlson has basically done exactly what you wanted him to do between the offseason and his spring. And they believe in Tyler O'Neill, and O'Neill had a nice World Baseball Classic. He's a little bit banged up right now, but he'll be back in spring training games soon. So these issues that we're talking about are not huge issues. There's more relief pitchers than they have roster spots available. The starting rotation is good. The starting rotation is perfectly fine for a 162-game season. We've established that over and over and over. And like if I have one concern about this team from a playoff perspective, it continues to be the high-end starting pitching that they need. So if we're really going to dig deep, for issues to be worried about here at the moment, maybe it's starting pitching. Adam Wainwright has looked better in the World Baseball Classic. The velocity has certainly ticked up, And that is good to see. That's probably the most important thing to see when it comes to Wainwright. That, you know, he's not going to throw super hard, but he's got to throw a little bit harder than what he was doing early on in spring training. And we've seen that a little bit more here in the WBC. Jack Flaherty, again, more good than bad when it comes to Flaherty so far here in spring. The fact he threw 90 pitches today. That's exactly where you want him to be. In many ways, his ability to go throw 90 pitches is more important than the results. But the results for Flaherty, his last two starts, they've been somewhat up and down. Today, he gives up 9 hits in the 4 2/3 innings. For the most part, he was able to work around them. Gives up just the 2 runs. Does not give up a home run. Has 4 strikeouts, 1 walk. He's got a 4.5 ERA here so far in spring. And you look at his last 2 starts, his last time out, he went 4 1/3, allowing 3 runs on 7 hits. That doesn't tell the whole story because he ended up getting lifted and re-entered. You're allowed to do that during spring. And then the 4 2/3 today, throwing the 90 pitches, he had to come out of the game at that point in time. So he's not dominant, but you don't have to be dominant in Grapefruit League play. More good than bad. Dakota Hudson, coming into the spring, he was kind of viewed as the 6th starter. He got reassigned to minor league camp today. And he's not the 6th starter right now. Jake Woodford is probably that guy. And the next question is, if you were going to like slot in the starters, if you were going to keep going 6, 7, 8, 9, like where everybody was at, I'm not even convinced he's in that 7 spot right now. He has not had an especially good spring, and his velocity is down. I saw this on Twitter today. I want to make sure to give credit where credit deserves. Jason Hill, who's part of the team over at Viva Alberto's, I've had him on the our CardsCast podcast, available at KMOX.com and the Odyssey app. He mentioned Dakota Hudson's sinker velocity, so a sinker type of fastball, and where it's at. So in 2018, again, I'm just reading off a Jason Hill tweet, which was really good information here. In 2018, as a relief pitcher, he averaged 95.9 miles per hour on that fastball. 19 and 20, as a starting pitcher, he was sitting around 93. 2022, per post-surgery, he was sitting at just under 92. And then in his last Grapefruit League start, he was sitting 91. And he hasn't been commanding his pitches. So, velo's down, not commanding his pitches. You're trying to figure out what in the world's going on. They're going to send him to Memphis, and they're going to try to put it together. They're going to try to figure it out for him and help him figure it out, because Oliver Marmol said it when he was asked about the decision to send Dakota Hudson down. He did not mince words, saying that the way he's throwing right now with the limited velocity and the lack of control, that's not going to play. That's not going to play at the big league level. So they've got work to do. And we saw Dakota Hudson be a pretty solid big league pitcher before he had surgery, and he just has not put it together since then. And how often do we talk about this last year? Matt Pajeski, you know, how many times last year did I take note of what Oliver Marmol said about Dakota Hudson after a start? Like, it was over
every start.
Yeah. It was kind of off-putting, to be perfectly honest. And that's not a criticism of anybody. If anything, it's almost a compliment, because anytime you can get candor from decision-makers and important people, that's a good thing. We live in a world where important people rarely talk openly. But it was a very odd thing. If you went back to the archives and listened to our post-game shows that we did after Dakota Hudson starts last year, and you go listen to the Oliver Marmol comments, there was kind of no holding back on the frustrations and the disappointments of the way he was pitching. And it's just been a weird journey over these last couple years for him. And now he's not going to be on the big league roster to start the season. He's headed to Memphis. And even, you know, sometimes the same move looks different. That's how I would describe what happened today, because Matthew Liberatore also gets returned to Memphis. Liberatore had a nice spring. I think, you know, this time last year, He's got big time prospect status, and a lot of Cardinals fans are really excited about what he was going to be. And then he gets to the big leagues, and he was right? He was okay. You see, he had his moments, but overall, he wasn't that consistent. He wasn't overly effective. And I always say it, the development process doesn't stop just because you walk into a major league clubhouse. But I can tell you, a lot of Cardinals fans kind of were done with Matthew Liberatore. That they saw him last year, and they were just kind of washed his hands. Okay, this guy isn't going to be anything. And that always frustrates me when a guy's a prospect, gets an opportunity, doesn't come through in a big way in his first opportunity, and then fans just kind of think, okay, well, that's who he is. No, that's not who he is. Maybe it is, but it's probably not. And there's still development to happen. And he has looked different this year in spring. Not overly dominant, not crazy, not pushing for a spot in the big league rotation, but taking steps forward, showing that he can be somebody that can really put himself in position to eventually be part of the big league rotation. So they each get sent down to minor league camp today. For Dakota Hudson, I don't think it's tough to find positives. It is tough to find much positive about what's going on with Dakota Hudson. For Matthew Liberatore, it's easy. It's easy to find the positives and to feel good about things. And that's kind of the difference. So that's where the same move looks different depending on which guy you happen to be. 314-436-7900, 314-436-7900. That's how you call. That's how you text. Benjamin Hockman from the Post-Dispatch and STL Today. He joins us in just a moment at Sports Open Line on KMOX.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
A Gray Bar Sports Open Line does continue here on KMOX, continuing to keep you updated on the WBC Championship. Team Japan right now leads Team USA by a 2-1 score. Nolan Arenado is currently at the plate. We'll keep you updated as we move along throughout the course of the evening. But right now, very happy to welcome onto the program. You read him in the Post-Dispatch and at STL Today. You follow him on Twitter, at Hockman. He is Benjamin Hockman. Hey, Ben, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you, man?
I am good. I appreciate you taking some time. Your most recent column, you write about City SC and their just incredible start to the year. And really, you hit on how much people had doubted this team in many different kind of ways, and how that has driven them from a player perspective, from a coaching perspective, just up and down the entire pro. We in sports media, we look for these stories, we try to find these things, but how much is that really motivating and impacting this team? Just the fact that there were not very high expectations for this team this season.
Yeah, and I'm always cautious when I write these stories to make sure I'm not overplaying a storyline or making something bigger than it is. But two things happen in my reporting of this. First is they just talk about it in every interview, it mm-hmm. seems. It seems like every player, every coach, Lutz, who runs the show, they're all bringing up how they felt slighted by the media, and nobody picked them to do well, and everybody picked them last. And then kind of the cherry on the top, I had a one-on-one sit-down interview with Carolyn Kindle, the president and CEO of St. Louis City SC. And she tells me the anecdote about how their offices, they have some offices in Clayton, and the day that the Athletic unveiled their thoughts on the season and said that St. Louis City would be 14th and last in the Western Conference. Carolyn said she thought that Clayton would blow up, honestly, because of all the frustration and anger in that building. But it also gave Lutz an opportunity to basically, instead of trying to give the team a rah-rah speech or anything like this, it was just right there for them to see it. You are not respected right now in Major League Soccer. Let's prove it to them that you should be respected. And honestly, if they had won one or two games at this point, we could easily say they deserve to be respected. They've won all four of their games. It really is an incredible sports story.
How much fun is it right now for St. Louis sports fans? We've kind of patted ourselves on the back, and that's fine when talking about the 60,000 people in downtown last weekend between the Battle Hawks and City SC. And you know, you get 60,000 people downtown, and neither the Cardinals or Blues are playing. It's something. And then you have this spectacular start for City. There's so many great stories going. We talked Missouri men's basketball, SLU women's basketball, doing what they did. Like, it's a really good time for sports fans.
Yeah, I feel bad for Ben Fredrickson, my colleague at the Post-Dispatch. We split spring training. I normally go in February. He goes in March. So I was there in February, and I get to be here going to all this fun stuff, right? And like you said, about SLU women, Mizzou men, going to the soccer games, going to the Battlehawk games, and getting to experience it all. Of course, Ben's reporting his butt off down there in Jupiter and doing it during the sunshine, so that ain't bad either. But, yeah, I mean, what a time to be a sports fan here. And, yeah, how funny it is we named all those things there. I named all those things there, and not one of them was the St. Louis Blues.
Yeah, I said this earlier. It's a credit to the Blues fans that they are continuing to like show up. Like their attendance hasn't really taken much of a hit. They're filling up that building on an every night basis. But from a discourse perspective, from a what's being written about, what's being talked about, it feels like the Blues have really fallen down. And it's just because they're not very good this year.
Yeah, exactly. And so the Hofer storyline is definitely intriguing, and we'll follow that, of course. But yeah, this was a season I think many of us thought the Blues were going to contend for the Stanley Cup. And at one point during their downfall there, we were wondering if they were going to contend for Connor Bedard, the number one pick in the draft.
You were down at spring training the same time as I was there in February, as you mentioned. Jordan Walker just continues to hit. This guy oozes superstar. He's had a little bit of a slow week this past week. Are you expecting this guy to break camp with the team?
Yes, I am. I can't imagine it otherwise. He's just hitting too well. You don't want to, if you will, waste those at-bats in AAA. And so, yeah, I expect to see him there in a convertible on opening day after the Clydesdales go out on the field.
Isn't that I can't even imagine that. Can you imagine being a guy his age and getting the opportunity to do that, never even playing AAA, and you know that first time you hop into the convertible or the truck and go around the track? I mean, that's an experience to be had.
Yeah, I mean, who else can tell that story? Maybe Albert Pujols. Only a few guys skip AAA and make it to the opening day roster the next year. I guess we see it with some pitchers lately, though, with Pallante and all that. But, yeah, it'll be an extraordinary moment because here's a guy that basically since he was drafted and had that good first year, baseball fans across Cardinals country have, by the way, is it Cardinals country or Cardinals nation? I go with country. But I mean, I've seen nation.
Yeah, I feel like the Cardinals have made the decision to go nation just with their branding.
I like the alliteration of Cardinals country, and I feel like that's a KMOX thing, Cardinals country expanding out across the country. But, yeah, I mean, in a good way. And, I think it's going to be so fun because we've all been following Jordan Walker. At minimum, you've heard his name, right? At minimum, like, casual fan has heard murmurs about this slugger who can't even drink legally, yet will be at Busch Stadium performing.
Got about a minute left, but before I let you go, I wanted you to share this. You've mentioned on Twitter, there's been some things that have been written about it, but you are writing a play. It's going to be featured during the Shakespeare in the Streets that's going to be coming up in September. Can you just share what's going on with that?
This is a special thing that I'm able to share. Thanks for letting me do this. I'm writing a play about soccer in St. Louis. It'll be the Shakespeare Festival's Shakespeare in the Street this year, September 14th, 15th, and 16th. It'll be free, and it'll be right there outside of City Park, the new soccer field, on 22nd and Olive. It's September 14th, 15th, and 16th. I'm writing a play involving the Henriad, Henry IV, and Henry V, and the history of St. Louis soccer.
We will have you on more times between now and then because I've got a lot. In fact, at some point I'm going to have you on, and all we're going to do is talk about that because I've got a lot of questions.
I promise not to speak in iambic pentameter.
Fair enough. Benjamin, always appreciate the time. Thank you for taking it with us. We'll talk again real soon.
Take care, Matt. Talk to you soon.
You bet. There's Benjamin Hockman from the Post-Dispatch and STL Today joining us here on the program. He's writing a play. I'm not talented enough to write a play. I think I am. Like, I get impressed by people who do things that I could never do. I take pride in my self-awareness. I think I have the ability to say, like, there's radio people that I listen to what they do and I go, man, I can't do that. And that's when I get impressed. And sometimes they're doing things that I even wouldn't want to do, but I can still say, couldn't do that. That's out of my realm. Writing a play is out of my realm, and that's something that Benjamin Hockman is going to be doing. All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, we'll talk some college basketball. The disparity that exists was on full display this past weekend in college basketball. I will explain that coming up in just a moment. My name is Matt Pauley. It is a Graybar Sports Open Line. We're back with more in just a moment right here on KMOX.
This is America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
Back at it on a Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. My name is Matt Pauley. Great to have you with us. Do want to remind you once again about KMOX Kegs and Eggs. This is going to be the first time that I get to experience Kegs and Eggs, which is going to be a whole lot of fun. It's presented by Budweiser. Back to celebrate the return of the baseball season Thursday, March 30th for VIP tickets, 10 a.m. to 2 for GA tickets, 11 to 2. Here's what you're going to get. You're going to have Budweiser products coming your way. That's good. Also, you're going to have access to a covered VIP area with private restrooms from a food perspective, Sugar Fire Smokehouse Barbecue. We got themed cocktails featuring a Maker's Mark bourbon in addition to other premium drinks, all available to you. I mentioned the fact that you have access to a covered VIP area with private restrooms. I keep repeating this. I can't repeat it too many times. The private restrooms, that is the Cadillac. That is the way that you need to do opening day downtown St. Louis. You want to have access to a clean private restroom when you're doing that. So that's a big part of it. If you want tickets, they're still available, but they're moving pretty fast. So we encourage you to get them sooner than later. KMOX.com/events is where you go. I wanted to talk about this, and I love the NCAA basketball tournament so much. Those first 2 days, it's two of the best sports days of the year. And yeah, I mention this all the time. I say to you, as if you want to call or text or tweet into the program, which we always encourage you to do so, if you're going to complain about something, I also want you to have like a solution to what you are complaining about. That's one of my big things. It's like this, the timing on the WBC. What's the terminology that I keep using? The timing, it is the least terrible time. It's a terrible time to be playing the World Baseball Classic, but it's the least terrible time. There's not a better time. There's not a single time in the calendar year that makes sense. So this timing makes the most sense, making it the least terrible. I don't have a solution. I don't have an answer. So again, if you complain about something, I want a solution, and here I am. I've got a problem with something. I don't have a solution for you. The disparity that exists in the haves and have-nots of college sports is on full display during the NCAA tournament. And it creates what, on the surface level, looks like really good stories. But when you dig in a little bit, they're not good stories. They're just not. We saw this today. So Fairleigh Dickinson, 16 seed, they beat a 1 seed. Maybe, it's only happened twice now And you could make the argument that Fairleigh Dickinson, that this was the biggest upset in the history of the tournament. They didn't even win their conference tournament. The team that did win the conference tournament wasn't eligible for the postseason. So Fairleigh Dickinson got in. They had to win a first four game to even get to that point. So in many ways, this is the greatest upset when they were able to get the win against Purdue. They were coached by a guy by the name of Tobin Anderson. He is now the head coach at Iona. The Iona job was available because Rick Pitino left and he went to St. John's. And so Fairleigh Dickinson is going to have a new head coach. Here's where we see the disparity between the haves and have-nots. So Tobin Anderson, I think he was making about $40,000 as the head coach at Fairleigh Dickinson. And the job posting for the Fairleigh Dickinson head men's basketball coach, it lists the job as like a $26,000 salary with housing potentially available. I mean, we're talking minimum wage type stuff here when we're talking about $26,000, even $40,000. Nobody's getting rich making $40,000 a year. And here you got a guy who is expected to compete at the highest level, to compete in Division I basketball, while you're going up against coaches who are at the very least making hundreds of thousands of dollars, if not millions of dollars. And that doesn't even get into all the other infrastructure and resources and facilities and everything else that goes along with that. Maybe you saw the story. So there is a college student who is the sports information director for Fairleigh Dickinson. Now, for him, great opportunity. You're a college kid and you're working as the main public relations contact for a Division I team. Like, you come out of college with amazing experience, and it's really cool for that individual. But what's not cool is the fact that you've got a Division I institution that does not even have the resources to be able to hire a full-time sports information staff and department and somebody who's been in that role. You're going with a student, and I don't know how much that student gets paid, but it certainly cannot be all that much, to be sure. So it just goes to really show how there's two different playing fields when it comes to college athletics. And I don't think it's good. Now, you sit here and say, well, look at Fairleigh Dickinson. They don't have these resources, and they were able to beat a one seed. It's a great story, and I'm not trying to take anything away from them. It is a great story. But it's a great story that should have never happened. They should have the resources. And there are mid-majors that have resources. And I love mid-major basketball. And I don't think, look, we're not comparing what's going on in the Missouri Valley Conference to what's going on at a place like Fairleigh Dickinson. I think for the most part, Missouri Valley Conference schools do a really good job of being able to support athletics, and they have great fan bases. But the point I'm trying to make is, here in St. Louis, we have a love affair with mid-major basketball, in large part because of the Missouri Valley Conference and the tournament taking place here every year. And so many people who live in the St. Louis area went to school at a Valley school. So like, we appreciate mid-major basketball. I've worked at a couple different mid-majors as a broadcaster, and I do love the fact that you have these great stories. Something has to happen though in college athletics where you don't have a Division I program only able to offer, whether it's the $26,000 or the $40,000, to a head coach. Something has to happen where the financial resources have to be available, where you can have an actual sports information staff, and you're not stuck taking a junior who's still in college trying to do this. Like, again, great stories, great experiences. But when we take the step back, it's not great. It's not a great situation for any of the parties involved. So that's, you know, both things can be true. It can be a great story, but it also can be a story that should not have taken place in the first place. And I don't know what the answer is. I do not know what the answer is. The rich are always going to get richer. when it comes to college athletics, something I don't want because people have talked about the Power Five conferences going off of the rest of Division I college athletics. That's more of a football thing than a basketball thing. I guess I can... It's in some ways it kind of already is that way in football because you have FBS versus FCS, but still you have conferences like the American Athletic Conference and the Mountain West and conferences like that that are still FBS football and are still a step behind the SEC and the Big Ten and the Big 12 and the ACC, so on and so forth. Especially though in college basketball, the idea was floated out. I don't know if it was this past year, but within the last couple of years. The idea was floated out of basically changing the NCAA basketball tournament to being a Power Five conference tournament. I don't want that. I don't want to see that. I love the upsets. I love the mid-majors. Like that's something that's so special about the current version of the NCAA basketball tournament is anybody could win on any given good day, especially in the first couple rounds of the tournament, and I don't want that to go away. So I'm sitting here, I'm yelling at the clouds, right? Like I don't have a solution. I'm doing exactly what I ask you not to do, complain about things without a solution. The only potential solution would be more, you know, revenue sharing and that sort of thing across the NCAA where maybe you centralize things out a little bit more and it's not up to conferences to work out their own TV deals. But that, you know, that's a huge thing going on right now. The Pac-12 conference is at an absolute crossroads here in the moment because they're trying to work out a new TV deal. And you have a bunch of other leagues that have already locked in their TV deal. ESPN, I saw a newspaper article earlier today. ESPN is going to be doing major, major, major layoffs. They are in a tough spot from a financial standpoint, and they are looking at every individual and every department right now trying to figure out what to do. And a lot of that is because of the rights fees that they're paying for these events. And we see cord cutters and we see less people watching ESPN. So then when that kind of trickles down to what's going on in college athletics, if you are a league that's really reliant on TV money and you're not a big-time league, that money's going to continue to move in a downward direction. And that's even with a big Power 5 conference like the Pac-12, that's going on right now. And they're trying to figure out what to do. And they've been negotiating with Apple, and they've been negotiating with Amazon, and they may end up moving some of their stuff to streaming. And there's been a lot of rumors that if that happens, some of the schools in the Pac-12 might want to leave the Pac-12 and end up in the Big 12 instead. Like, there's just a lot going on. And there's been a lot going on. Yeah, I start this segment talking about the disparity in college athletics and talking about the Fairleigh Dickinson basketball coach leaving Fairleigh Dickinson to go to Iona. And we finish going back to just what has been really a consistent theme throughout the last few years when it comes to college athletics is realignment. And I don't know when it's going to end. Everybody wants to get theirs. Everybody wants to put themselves in a better financial situation. Everybody realizes that when it comes to recruiting, you have to have facilities. You have to have name, image, likeness deal. There was a lot made today. Frank Cusimano on Channel 5, he did a commentary where basically he said the big money donors that are maybe trying to push Travis Ford out, don't do that. Don't spend that money there. Instead, if you're going to spend that money, go spend it in name, image, likeness and find a way to pay players to bring in because now that's legal. And it was an interesting point by Frank. He took a lot of, I saw a lot of negative reaction to that on social media. People didn't like that, but that's because he was talking about the morality of things. Well, you know what? That is moral now in college athletics. Now we're at a point where the morality of college athletics, it's okay to pay players. If you are a third party and you want to do a name, image, likeness deal with a kid, you are able to do that and bring them in. So we're at a really weird spot in college athletics where you got a basketball coach making $40,000, coaching with a PR director who's a student, playing against a one seed, beating the one seed. That coach is leaving just to make a little bit extra money. I mean, it's just... Yeah, nothing is fair, nothing is even. I guess, as our parents always told us, life isn't fair, and that's the way things are. But it just feels like a completely broken system right now when it comes to college athletics, and I don't know what the answer is. All right, we will take a break. When we come back, we'll wrap up today's program. The Cardinals making some announcements that have absolutely nothing to do with what's going on the field. Instead, it has more to do with what's going on inside of Busch Stadium and also what's going to be going into your tummy. Thought I'd share that. That's some fun news to get into. We'll do that next. It's a Graybar Sports Open Line. My name is Matt Pauly. Back with more in a moment on KMOX.
This is America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
Back at it, Sports Open Line here on KMOX. My name is Matt Pauly. As we start to put the finishing touches on this edition of the program, tomorrow night, it is the final edition. This is crazy. The final edition of Countdown to Opening Day. Mike Claiborne and myself will come your way from 6 o'clock to 8 o'clock, our off-season Cardinals show that we got started all the way back at the winter meetings in, what was that, December. And now we are just about set to wrap things up. We have been counting down to Opening Day and the countdown. It is just about over. A lot's going to be on tomorrow's show, including kind of an end-of-camp conversation with Cardinals manager Oliver Marmol. There's still a lot decisions, though, to be made. So nothing is set in stone quite yet. Well, some things are set in stone, not nothing, but in terms of the roster decisions to be made between now and next week, there's still a good number of decisions to be made. But it's been overall, I think, a mostly positive camp. We talked about it earlier. Matthew Liberatore, even though he got sent down, I think he's a good story. The negative stories, there haven't been many of them, but it's been Paul DeJong, who's probably going to start the season on the injured list. And I think you can put Dakota Hudson in there as well, as he gets reassigned to minor league camp today. And just not clear where Hudson's career goes from here. Needs to increase his velocity, and we'll see what he looks like at Memphis. But he's kind of fallen down that depth chart. When you think about it, you have your top five starters, and then you have Jake Woodford, who's I'm not even convinced Dakota Hudson's that seventh guy right now. And I don't know if you don't have to make that decision, but there's some other individuals, some other starters who have certainly pitched better. So we'll see if Hudson can get it together. Did want to mention this before we get done. I get excited about small things in life, and I get excited about food. Something I need to do a better job at is there's so much good food at Busch Stadium, and when I'm eating, generally I'm just eating like the press food. And I don't get out very often to experience some of the other food. Well, a couple announcements today when it came to food, and the first one I'm fired up about. I'm a Shaq guy. I love Shaquille O'Neal. I liked him when he was a player, but it's more about who he's kind of turned himself into, not just on his TV persona, but he seems like a legitimate good guy. He's got this business sense that's really cool, tries to help people a lot. You know, the old story about his former shoe line at Walmart where he just wanted people to be able to afford shoes that were connected. Like, he's done enough things in his life where he's got a pretty solid track record of being a pretty big dude. So I root for people like that. So I've always been a fan of Shaquille O'Neal. He owns a chicken concept restaurant. It's called, perfect name, because it's owned by Shaquille O'Neal. When you think about, if there's one word that can describe Shaq, what is it? It's big. Shaq's a big dude. The name of his chicken restaurant, Big Chicken. And I've heard about Big Chicken before. I have never experienced, I've never partaken in Big Chicken, but I've heard about Big Chicken. And the Cardinals, along with their concession partner, Delaware North, making the announcement that there are going to be two, count them, two Big Chicken locations inside of Busch Stadium moving forward, which I am going to have to venture out of the press box and make my way to Big Chicken at some point this year. I am wondering about this, and this would be something that would be interesting to ask, like a Bill DeWitt third at the end of the year. Games are going to be going faster. And, a lot of beer sales stop in the seventh inning. Concession stands start to close down as the game goes along. Because individuals are going to be spending less time at the ballpark, I wonder if they're going to be selling significantly less concession food and drinks and things like that. It'll be interesting to see if that revenue takes a hit at the end of the season, just because games are going less time. If games are averaging 230 or 240 and you're taking 20, 25, 30 minutes off every game with the pitch clock and all the rules changes and everything, I'll be curious if there is a bottom line impact. I know I've seen on social media people have been worried because it is not a crazy idea that maybe you go stand in line for something and you end up standing in line for an inning and a half, something like that. Well, if the game is moving that much faster, are you standing in line for like two innings? And that's something that they're going to have to work through. You mentioned it earlier. Rob Manfred's going to announce some tweaks to the rules changes at some point before the regular season gets started. We'll see what kind of tweaks those are, but there are going to be some tweaks that are going to be made. That, by the way, was not the only food announcement that was made when it comes to Busch Stadium. Mission Taco Joint announced that their restaurant concept is going to be a new local food partner inside of Busch Stadium for the upcoming season. They are going to have a Mission Taco Joint concession located in Section 150. Mission Taco has six locations throughout St. Louis and Kansas City. They already had a concession area inside of an Enterprise Center. So if you go to games there, maybe you've already enjoyed it while watching a game. But yeah, Mission Taco Joint is going to have a spot inside of a Busch Stadium as well. So that's the point we're at. We're getting all kinds of news. Some, you know, news about the Cardinals. Sometimes the news is related to on-field stuff, like today with the news that we got that Dakota Hudson was being sent down and Matthew Liberatore is going to be sent down. And sometimes we get the press release emails and we're finding out that Big Chicken and Mission Taco Joint are going to have spots inside of Busch Stadium. All big news as far as I am concerned. All right, that is going to wrap up this edition of Sports Open Line. Thanks so much for being tuned in. Thanks to all of our guests. This was a fun one today. Nate Gatter and Joe Roderick in the first hour. We had Benjamin Hockman joining us just a little while ago, and we appreciate all of them. Again, tomorrow, Countdown to Opening Day, our final edition of Countdown to Opening Day. It is amazing how fast time can move. It does not feel like it was that long ago that we were doing our first show of the offseason. And now Mike Claiborne and myself, we are going to wrap up this run of Countdown to Opening Day coming up tomorrow. So make sure to be tuned in for that, 6 o'clock to 8 o'clock right here on KMOX and, of course, across the Cardinals Radio Network. Thanks so much for being tuned in. We'll talk to you tomorrow for that right here on KMOX.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.